It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okpanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. I am your host, Colbert. You are tuned in to a Thursday edition of Cole and Company. Thank you so much for being here. However you are tuned in, that could be on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. A lot of ways to listen to all of our great programming, including tonight's Thursday night football game that you'll hear right here on The Fan. The New England Patriots playing host to the Buffalo Bills, a big AFC East showdown tonight. Pre-game coverage of that one will begin at 6:30, and in case you missed it before the season began, tried to make it known to as many of you as possible that starting this season in the NFL, we've been able to stream the games. And so, whereas before we had to put a little thing, the blackout on, now you can listen to the NFL from Westwood One on the 1650 The Fan app, or when you tell your smart speaker to play The Fan, or when you pull up the stream online at the website. So wherever you go, you can take the NFL with you, and tonight, that's a good game. Don't miss out on it. The New England Patriots hosting the Buffalo Bills. Pregame coverage begins at 6:30. We'll talk a little bit of football today on the show, some college football, some NFL, and we'll talk some college hoops, too. And details on that forthcoming. First things first, make sure you're following us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBert. And like the Facebook page, type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us on the Zuck Machine. Hammer that like button, you'll be all set. And if you are following us on social media, Twitter and Facebook, that's where we push out a lot of our local and statewide sports content that you can find at the website that you should have bookmarked, 1650thefan.com. You can also find the podcast of this show there. Had a great time yesterday on the show with Waterloo East boys basketball coach Brent Carmichael. If you missed that interview, you can go listen to it on demand. Just go into our podcast section of the website. And, another great reason to make sure you're following us on social media is whenever we have a big promotion, we definitely tell you about it there. Of course, we tell you on air, but, you can always fire up the Twitter app and can't always turn the radio on. And, folks, time is running out and spaces are running out. As many of you might be aware by now, Fan Frenzy coming up on Monday, December 5th, this coming Monday at Dad's Pub in Waterloo. It's presented by Hawkeye Audio Video in Cedar Falls. And all this week, we've had our on-air keywords that when you hear them, you go to 1650thefan.com, you enter that keyword, and that can secure you. It still can as we sit here on Thursday evening. Like I said, space is getting tight, but there's still some spots left. Listen for the keywords on air. You can hear them during Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson on the Dan Patrick Show, on Jim Rome, during Jim Rome, during Rich Eisen, and during this show. Mark will be on vacation tomorrow morning, so no Maximum Mornings, but I'll definitely give you the keyword right now if you're wanting to join us on Monday, December 5th at Dad's Pub. If you think, oh, let me enter it, I might make it, I might not make it, please don't do that. Please only enter the keyword if you know you're going to be able to make it, and I don't know why you wouldn't want to, because the prizes are incredible that we're going to be giving giving away, led by the grand prize, the 75-inch Sony 4K LED TV. We will play the points game while watching Monday Night Football, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the New Orleans Saints. So should be a good game. And we will enjoy cold drinks from Dad's Pub, great food from Hungry Charlie's Lunchbox in Waterloo. They will provide the food, and we'll have a lot of fun. We'll have door prizes. Got some really cool new 1650 102.3 The Fan tumblers that we're going to be giving away some of on Monday night. Also, some of our pint glasses that I'm sure plenty of you out there might like to drink a cold beverage or two out of as well. And that's just a small sampling of the door prizes. And I haven't even, you know, dug in on the quarter prizes. Each quarter of the game, we give away a prize, and it's all headlined by the 75-inch Sony 4K LED TV from our presenting sponsor, Hawkeye Audio Video. So yeah, without any further ado, today's keyword is theater. Today's keyword is theater. If you go to the website, and you'll see the Fan Frenzy post right there on the homepage. You enter that keyword theater, and you will be able to join us on Monday, December 5th at Dad's Pub in Waterloo for Fan Frenzy. And another quick PSA, put it out there yesterday. I'll put it out there again today. If you've already entered the keyword, then you're good to go. You should have an email. Everybody who's entered the keyword or qualified for registration for the event by nature of what they did in Pigskin Pick'em, you all should have emails by now. So if you don't and you meet that criteria, I would check your spam folder first thing. And if it's not in your spam folder, same thing as I said yesterday, give me an email. If you want to email me, it's Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Or you could call me. Not going to pick up right now necessarily and answer your questions about Frenzy during the show, but call me anytime between 9 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon tomorrow if you don't have the email that you think you should have, or if you have any questions at all about what's all going down on Monday night. And that number, of course, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918. All right, so there you have it. And then tomorrow on the show, very excited to be taking it to Young Arena in downtown Waterloo, where the Blackhawks will be taking on the Sioux Falls Stampede. And Clark the Cub, the official mascot of the Chicago Cubs, is going to be in attendance. And as I understand, he'll be stationed on the West Concourse. That's where we will have a table. Mark Simpson will be there tomorrow night. And we have a Cubs memorabilia giveaway. We'll have a registration box where you can get signed up for your chance to be the lucky name pulled out of the box to win this great-looking bin of Cubs memorabilia that I've got here in the Shirley Street studio. And we'll also bring some koozies along. If you buy a cold drink, which I understand they do serve at Young Arena, what better than a 1650 The Fan koozie to have, keeping that thing colder longer? We'll make sure to have plenty of those out there, complimentary koozies as well tomorrow night. And then I'll have the show at Young Arena, and really looking forward to it. Tim Harwood, the voice of the Blackhawks, will join the show tomorrow night around 5:15. And then we'll get our first dose of Cubs off-season free agency talk during tomorrow night's show, as Clark the Cub's in the house. So felt right to have Michael Cerami of BleacherNation.com join us on that show tomorrow night. So that's the plan there. And encourage everybody to bring out your young Cubs fans and get their picture taken with Clark. Get to meet the official Chicago Cubs mascot. And then, of course, tune in tomorrow night. We'll talk Blackhawks and Cubs on that special edition of Cole and Company. All right, today on the show, we'll dive into area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action Update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this Thursday, looking into tomorrow and Saturday. We'll come back from that first break, and our friend Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette is scheduled to join. We'll talk a little Iowa State football with Rob. Haven't spoken to him since the Cyclones got blown out by TCU last Saturday. But we'll talk a lot of Iowa State men's basketball. Cyclones, I don't know if you'd call it a grind because the way the score ended up. The first half certainly a grind last night for the Cyclones in their win against North Dakota. But we'll talk plenty of Cyclone men's basketball when Rob joins us in the next segment. After we're done talking Iowa State with Rob, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. That's when you get Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side of that timeout, and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast is going to join the show. We'll, of course, make our picks of the weekend. We'll talk about this new 12-team college football playoff. Hallelujah, I say. It's going to get here in 2024, if I'm not mistaken. And I've been banging the table for a 12-team playoff since before the 4-team playoff came to be. So, as you might imagine, I'm very happy. And they set it up just how I always wanted them to set it up, where the top four seeds, the top four teams, they get a first-round bye. And then among the eight teams that play in the first round, the higher seed gets to host at home. So I think it's just going to be outstanding for college football. But I know there's some dissension out there. Some people that would not like to see 12 teams wanted eight or wanted to stay at four. I think by nature of getting to 12 teams, I've said this all along, you got to get to 12 teams so you can get the Boise States in, so you can get the UCFs in. The undefeated teams that are not Power 5 branded blue blood programs that really I've always thought should have deserved a chance to play for a national championship. That Boise State team that won, what was it, the Fiesta Bowl, however many years ago it was, the UCF team that finished undefeated when Scott Frost, of all people, was their head coach. Those teams deserved a chance to play for a national championship. And if you don't think that, to me, then you're just coming off as an elitist. It's like, well, what are we doing here? You're probably someone who wants to see the Power Five break away. And I mean, you're entitled to believe that, but that's not what I want to see. And I think I speak for the majority that don't want to see that happen either, that don't want to see the Power Five conferences break off and form their own division. And, you know, who knows what the fallout could be of that and how much that could change so many different things. With college football, but we'll talk about that with Logan, make our picks of the weekend. And, of course, the resident Bill fan that Logan is, we'll talk a little bit about tonight's matchup in Foxborough with the Patriots taking on the Buffalo Bills. So that's the plan today on the show, boys and girls. After we're done talking with Logan, we'll take our final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, and Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we'll come back for a final time and wrap up the show. All right, let's dive right in here. Tonight in Metro Boys Basketball, Cedar Falls going across town to take on rival Waterloo East. We spoke, as I mentioned, with Coach Brent Carmichael yesterday. I got my eye on this one. Tigers, they still haven't played a regular season game because their game on, what was that, Monday night that was supposed to be at Mason City was postponed due to the weather. So it's going to be the season opener for Ryan Schultz's Tigers. Meanwhile, Coach Carmichael, his Trojans, they've played one game, and I would say you could maybe say they're already battle-tested with that 46-43 win they got over Waterloo West earlier this week. So it should be a good one tonight as the Tigers are on the road to take on Waterloo East in boys basketball. Meanwhile, in Metro Wrestling tonight, Cedar Falls has a home co-ed dual meet against Dubuque Wallert. In boys wrestling, Waterloo West is hosting a duel against Iowa City High, and Waterloo East is competing in a double duel at Des Moines Roosevelt along with Des Moines Lincoln. Waterloo Columbus has hired a new softball coach. Ryan Reginald has been hired to take over the Sailor softball program. He replaces Chris Olmstead, who resigned after this past season. Reginald has coached club softball for the past 9 years. He built Iowa Elite Cedar Valley into a team that has won multiple state titles and finished as high as second in the USSSA national competition. Reginald also has coaching experience as an assistant on the Don Bosco football staff. 23rd-ranked Iowa State men's basketball took control in the second half last night, defeating North Dakota 63-44 in a game you heard right here on The Fan. The Cyclones shot just 32% in the first half for a narrow 26-24 lead at the break. Iowa State led by Caleb Fire Up the Grill, who finished with 16 points, including 4 of 5 from distance. Taman Lipsy added 11. The Cyclones are now 6-1 this season. Meanwhile, UNI men's basketball dropped its Missouri Valley Conference opener at Bradley last night, 68-53. Panthers were ahead 30-29 at halftime, but managed only 23 points in the second half. Panthers shot just 35% in this game. Bowen Bourne led UNI with 22 points. Panthers are back at home Saturday when they play host to Evansville. The Wartburg basketball teams played at Luther last night in American Rivers Conference play, and the Wartburg women improved to 2-0 as they beat the Norse 73-53. The Knights held a 41-18 lead at the half, and the Wartburg men picked up their first ARC Conference win, 74-64. The Knights are now 1-1 in conference play. It's a top 25 women's college basketball matchup tonight in Iowa City as 10th-ranked Iowa plays host to 12th-ranked North Carolina State. This game is part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. The Hawkeyes are looking to bounce back after a loss at 3rd-ranked UConn in the title game of the Phil Knight Legacy Tournament this past weekend. Iowa is 5-2 entering this game tonight. North Carolina State is 6-1. Tip-off is at 7:30. Sticking with the Hawkeyes, Iowa wide receiver Keegan Johnson announced today that he plans to enter the NCAA transfer portal. Johnson appeared in only 2 games this fall for the Hawkeyes as he dealt with a soft tissue injury. He was the leading receiver for Iowa during the 2021 season as a true freshman. He was a highly touted 4-star recruit out of Bellevue West in Nebraska. In 11 games at Iowa, he had 20 catches for 363 yards and 2 touchdowns. 2 members of the Iowa State football team have been named to the All-Big 12 first team, selected for the 3rd time in their careers, senior wide receiver Xavier Hutchinson and senior defensive end Will McDonald. Hutchinson led the Big 12 with 107 receptions for 171 yards. McDonald finished as Iowa State's career record holder for sacks with 34, which also tied the Big 12 career record. This season, McDonald had 5 sacks to go along with 36 tackles. The UNI and Iowa State volleyball teams are preparing for first-round matches in the NCAA tournament tomorrow. UNI is in Minneapolis to take on Florida State. First serve of that one is at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. The Panthers enter that match 26-7 overall, while Florida State is 19-10. Meanwhile, Iowa State goes against Florida Gulf Coast in Gainesville. That match starts at 3:30. Iowa State is 19-11 this season. Florida Gulf Coast is 26-6. All right, let's take this final timeout. CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we'll talk Iowa State football. Yeah, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off. And we'll talk Iowa State men's basketball as well. Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joins us next on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash.
Well, the college football playoff is officially expanding starting in 2024, going from 4 all the way to 12 teams. Michigan will play the Big Ten Championship and perhaps the playoffs should the Wolverines get there without star running back Blake Corum, who is reportedly headed for knee surgery. The Bills open week 13 of the NFL season tonight against the Patriots in Foxborough. New England looking to climb out of the cellar in the AFC East, while the Patriots now 6-5, 2 games behind the Bills, who are 0-2 in the division. Deshaun Watson met the media before his first start as a Brown and first in nearly 2 years and avoided talking about what got him suspended, saying he was just sticking to football-related questions. An arrest warrant has been issued for Antonio Brown on charges of misdemeanor battery. The former wide receiver got 2 years probation in 2020 for a fight with a truck driver. Hall of Famer Gaylord Perry has died at the age of 84. He played for 8 teams over 22 years, winning 314 games and 2 Cy Young Awards. Japan and Spain move into the round of 16 of the World Cup. Japan a winner today over Spain 2-1, but Spain advancing by virtue of a tiebreaker with Germany, which is eliminated despite a 4-2 win over Costa Rica. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Hey, it's DA. Be sure to listen to CBS Sports Radio at home. Ask Alexa to play CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to Thursday Night Football tonight on The Fan. Coverage begins at 6:30.
Happy holidays from A&F Painting. Best wishes for the very best Christmas you've ever had from everyone at A&F Painting in Janesville. Your number one choice for all your painting needs this holiday season.
Business owners, did you know that only 2% of business owners actually have a written business plan, and even fewer stick to it? I'm Heather Marquez with Action Coach MindLinks. So we're on the countdown of 2022. With just a few weeks left, there are things that you can do to set up your business for success in 2023. Regardless of the economic challenges that we know are out there, with a plan, you can dominate your market and be highly successful in your industry. Growth Club is an interactive event with tangible results, clear action steps that lead them on the path to achieving them.
Attend Growth Club this Friday, 8:30 to 4:30 in downtown Waterloo. Visit heathermarquez.actioncoach.com to register. Find the events tab and use code word FAN to pay just $23 for this day-long workshop. Go to heathermarquez.actioncoach.com to register. Use code word FAN and pay just $23.
There is power in creating the plan and working the plan.
Hi, I'm Akwi Ingi of the Waterloo Community Schools. What is it that makes the holidays special for you? Whatever that something is, Waterloo Schools hopes you'll receive it in abundance. Happiest of holidays and a joyous new year from the Waterloo Community School District.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NBA, only one game tonight. The Mavericks in Detroit against the Pistons. Detroit a 7.5-point home underdog, 221.5 the set total. Championship Saturday, number 10 Kansas State and number 3 TCU in the Big 12 Championship in Arlington, Texas. The Horned Frogs a 2.5-point favorite, 62 the over-under. Later, number 2 Michigan going for back-to-back Big 10 championships. They're a 16.5-point favorite over Purdue in Indianapolis. The Bills a 4-point favorite on the road tonight against the Patriots to kick off Week 13. On Sunday, the Bears hosting the Packers. Chicago a 4-point home underdog, the over-under at 43.5. Red Hot winning picks at experts.winnersandwiners.com. Save 75% on any best bet package with the promo code ACTION75. That's ACTION75 at experts.winnersandwiners.com.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows level off around 30 tonight under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Highs level off around 50. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 14. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. Ample sunshine expected Saturday with daytime highs approaching 26. 39 Sunday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 34.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Thursday edition of the show continues. I am your host, Colbert. We're joined now by Rob Gray, my colleague at the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And Rob, thanks for being here as always. How are you today?
Good to be with you, Cole. You had to remind me of football season. I'm always pleased that Money for Nothing by Dire Straits has been added to the pregame repertoire. So it was like my own intro music for this segment. I'm honored.
That's beautiful to hear. I always expected or suspected that you were a man of culture, Rob. And this has confirmed it. So congratulations to us both.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Many pats on the back to go around.
All right. Let's rip off the Band-Aid, though, and talk a little Iowa State football. 62-14 loss at TCU last Saturday. Anything in particular that when, you know, you kind of walked away, I feel like that walk back to the vehicle after the last game of a season, you're always kind of thinking about different things in your head. What were those things for you, Rob? Or were you maybe trying to just, you know, blank your mind? Which I wouldn't blame you, given how the season went for the Cyclones.
Well, given the Gazette didn't send me to Fort Worth, I was getting ready to write something off of the radio. so I was not walking back to a vehicle. I wish I were walking out to a vehicle. I'd been walking back to a vehicle, but they managed to surprise me yet again. They managed to somehow within maybe 8 to 10 minutes of the first quarter do all the things that they did to break down late in games. Mm-hmm. And basically make the game unwinnable for a change. Just a bizarre end to a bizarre season, but in a way kind of a fitting one for a team that killed itself week after week after week. And then this time They didn't want to leave any doubt. They didn't want to think that maybe there's an antidote that I can grasp in the last moment. No. It was going to be done. And they talked about not, quote unquote, bagging it. That seems to be quite the example of bagging it. I mean, I still can't wrap my head around giving up 62 defensive touchdowns, two pick sixes, 62 points while giving up 380 yards of offense to change. It's just bizarre.
Yeah. So Coach Campbell talks so much about the culture inside the building, and I think he's earned that right, given what he's demonstrated in his tenure so far in Ames. But you could never know, probably, unless you're inside the locker room in the building. But was last Saturday any indication that maybe the culture needs a coat of wax or something like that?
Yeah, I think that some of the younger players within the program clearly started to waver on some of the things that they, that they hang their hat on from that culture standpoint. Campbell, down to entering the last game, said the senior leaders, the Xavier Hutchinsons, the Orion Vances, the Anthony Johnsons, et cetera, that stayed strong throughout. And in fact, he said it was the greatest example of senior leadership he'd been around. And we're already starting to see some people, some transfers trickle out, some who saw significant playing time, but certainly not starting playing time. Obviously, MJ Anderson, very, very good edge rusher to bookend Will McDonald. He decided to go pro. He's had injuries in the past, had a really good year. That's not entirely surprising. But I think as you have many of these opportunities to, as they say, fold or bag it, you start to probably lose some guys. And I think that they've seen some cracks. And I think this is obviously going to be a huge offseason for them. I mean,
yeah,
staff-wise and obviously personnel-wise related to the portal, both in and out.
So we're expecting some level of change on that staff. Would you characterize it as being likely to be anything more than what's typically deemed, quote-unquote, normal for staff turnover?
Well, I saw Baylor made some huge changes. It fired their defensive coordinator and safeties coach, and that defensive coordinator had Baylor as one of the best defenses along with Iowa State.
Right.
For a while, and obviously they didn't do as well this season. But
hey, you there, Rob? You dropped out there.
Next season. Is the continuity on the staff. Yes, there have been people let go. Brian Gasser, wide receivers coach, a while back. There have been people who moved on early on. Lou Iani to become an associate head coach and running backs guy in Northwestern, where he'd been involved before, where he went, and he's a Chicago guy. But they don't tend to make wholesale changes, and that's one of the things that's made the program successful. I have no idea. I have no inside information, but I don't think they're going to be I just don't see the point of making major changes when outside of their worst blowout whatever it was, 7-8 years since the TCU 56-3 loss, the other time they were thought they might get in the playoff, the program is not far off, and the talent is there. So we'll see what happens, but I would be stunned if there isn't some change, for sure.
Rob Gray, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's talk basketball. 63-44 win for the Iowa State men last night against North Dakota. It wasn't pretty in the first half, but it kind of struck me as one of those on-brand TJ Otzelberger wins where there's going to be nights where the offense doesn't have its A game, but just by nature of what the defense offers in terms of competitiveness, in any game they play, it did what it's built to do. It left them in position to take command of that game once the offense came around. What struck you about that win last night, Rob?
I shouldn't have been that surprised that you come out sluggish a bit when they'd had, three big games they played and a hugely successful run, despite the 18-point loss to UConn, who looked really, really, really good, elite. That's just where their offense went south, and UConn hit every shot, even contested, down the stretch. So they get in late, early in the morning. Your sort of routine is all messed up. They try to reset a little bit. I mean, North Dakota is KenPom like 324 They're 5-4 now, but got blasted at home by the University of Pacific, which is a mid-250-ish KenPom. I mean, they're not a good basketball team, to put it mildly. And the fact that the Cyclones couldn't shake them in the first, the Fighting Sioux in the first half, is a bit concerning. I mean, at one point I tallied it up. Four of the Cyclones' leading scorers coming into that game, Jaron Holmes, Osunyi, Gabe Kalscher, and why am I blanking? Oh, Jeff Koontz. They were combined 1-for-16 from the field. So really the people keeping him going was Caleb Grill, who, you know, out of Hilton Coliseum, career-high 4 threes. And Taman Lipsy played very well. Great energy off the bench with Demarion Watson, who had a career-high 10 rebounds, 4 offensive, and hit his first career three, which Lipson hit his first career three right after that. I think there's more encouraging in that because there aren't many games where Jaron Holmes and Osunyi cannot hit a shot. I mean, I think Osunyi eventually got a couple, and Jaron got a few more. But, you know, when you see guys like Caleb Grill back it up, you know, the great performance he had against North Carolina, finally shoot really well at Hilton, you know, that's very positive moving forward. And Taman Lipsy in double figure second game in a row. I think there's a lot of positives to take from how they closed out that game and who closed out that game for the Cyclones.
Yeah, Caleb Grill has just been outstanding so far this season. It's certainly going to be interesting to watch, you know, what kind of level of consistency he brings the rest of the season. But, you know, just with how you're talking about this team, Rob, I'm right there with you. And I wonder, okay, you could look at one side of this coin and go, hey, maybe they're a tougher guard this year than they were a year ago without Isaiah Brockington because the offense is coming from so many different guys on a given night. Or is that maybe more representative of there's really no consistent scorer on this team unless we're proven otherwise over the next 6-7 weeks here, which kind of makes me think, is the ceiling, albeit as good, it's a good ceiling, but is the ceiling beyond the Sweet 16 again?
Yeah, I mean, they might have overshot the ceiling last year, to be honest. But, I mean, that's because they play a brand of basketball most teams don't want to play, and they make those teams say uncle. They get uncomfortable and they shut down or speed up and lose the basketball. That's one element. They're turning teams over at an elite rate still, and it doesn't matter if that's, you know, the high-end competition they face at the Phil Knight Invitational or low-enders like IUPUI and North Dakota, et cetera. So I would say that Jaron Holmes, that's a real outlier game for him.
Yeah.
And he came in averaging 17-ish, I think. He'd been their leading scorer a couple times, and he pretty much always scored in double figures. I mean, he did a little bit late, but he just it looked like a very, very off night for him. And I think he's one guy that you're not going to see very many off nights from. Will he always score 16 to 20 points? Probably not. But I when he's not in double figures, I'll be reasonably surprised. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, they tried a new set. You know, Ashun didn't play much in the second half after he'd really struggled in the first.
Mm-hmm.
And they played, T.J. Otzelberger played Jeff Koontz at the five. And I think that worked really well for them offensively, and it's nice to have something new like that. Not that they probably haven't practiced it, but I mean that they validated in a half of a game. So, I mean, like I said, more positives than negatives take from that game, and I think Holmes will be, well, not a Brockington, he will be the most consistent scorer on the team.
Rob, I got to run. Great stuff as always. Enjoyed the conversation. We'll catch up again soon, okay?
All right, sounds good, Cole. Take care.
Take care, Rob. Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Make sure and follow Rob on Twitter, at Rob W. Gray. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up on the other side of the break. We'll talk about that college football 12-team playoff 2024 on its way. I'm pumped up. We'll talk about this weekend's conference championship games, a little NFL, and make picks of the weekend. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins us next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Tad Kim. The 10th-ranked Iowa Hawkeye women host number 12 North Carolina State tonight as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. It continues a demanding part of the schedule for the Hawkeyes, who are coming off a loss to 3rd-ranked UConn. Iowa's 5-2, the Wolfpack are 6-1. Their lone loss was to UConn.
I feel like we've played better competition outside of our common opponent than they have, but you never know, right? I mean, statistics at this time of year, when you haven't played as the toughest competition, it's hard to tell.
That's Iowa coach Lisa Bluter. One women's game has gone final as Drake beat Lindenwood 87-60.
Hello, Logan,
before several thousand elementary school students in Des Moines. To football, Iowa receiver Keegan Johnson announced via social media he's entering the transfer portal. Johnson played in 13 games and had 2 touchdowns as a freshman, but only appeared in 2 games this season. This is Radio Iowa.
Gotta go. Where'd I put... Ah, wallet. Check. And... Oh, phone. Check. Lunch. Check.
Checking for the things you need doesn't take long. But what about checking for your safety? At checktoprotect.org, it only takes seconds to check for open recalls on your car and find the closest dealer who can make the repair for free. Before you go, take a minute. Visit checktoprotect.org. Check to Protect is a program of the National Safety Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Kent.
And TJ.
With Hawkeye Audio Video.
Are you looking for a new TV?
Just text us.
Questions on TV pricing?
Text us.
Want info on TV models?
Measurements?
Features?
Availability?
Text Hawkeye Audio Video.
319-277-4566.
You can text us pics of your room.
Text us for in-home appointments.
We're making it easy.
To shop local.
Google our phone number at Hawkeye Audio Video.
And shop by text.
This holiday season.
Carry, the world's leading taste and nutrition company for food, beverage, and pharmaceutical, is hiring. Be part of a worldwide team that's shaping the future of food. If you're dependable, can lift up to 50 pounds repetitively, and want to grow your career, join the Carry team in Vinton. Carry offers a $1,500 sign-on bonus, competitive wages, full benefits including excellent health insurance, 3 weeks paid time off beginning year 2, paid holidays, and stability within a clean, team-oriented environment. Visit jobs.carry.com to apply today. Carry is an equal opportunity employer.
Dummies Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today. Sign up as a member and get the first month free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, unlimited washes, skip the line, free mat washes, and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online on Facebook or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert on your home for Cubs baseball, 1650 The Fan and 102.3 FM.
We'll talk some Cubs baseball on tomorrow's show, which will come at you live from Young Arena in downtown Waterloo. Clark the Cub, the official Cubs mascot, going to be in the house tomorrow night as the Waterloo Blackhawks take on the Sioux Falls Stampede. And we'll be doing our Cubs memorabilia giveaway, so make sure you check us out right there on the concourse next to Clark. And tune into the show, because Michael Cerami of BleacherNation.com will join with our first dose of Cubs off-season hot stove free agency talk, although I'm not sure you could say that the proverbial hot stove's even lit at this point as we wait on the Cubs, and more specifically Tom Ricketts, to open up his checkbook, which I didn't plan on starting it this way, as we welcome Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show into the program on a Thursday. But Logan, on a level of 1 to 10, how optimistic are you that Tom Ricketts will open up that checkbook and the Cubs are going to be serious players here in free agency?
I don't know. Last time I got my hopes up, I thought they were getting Bryce Harper, ended up with Daniel Descalso. So I don't really know if I want to get my hopes up too much this time around as well. But they keep saying, they've reiterated it since offseason, we're going to be spenders. We're going to be spenders. Jason Hayward's contract's off the books now. Oh, we're going to be spenders now. So I'm a little more optimistic than I usually am, but I'm gonna hold off a little bit. I'm more of a believe it when I see it thing when it comes to the Cubs and spending money.
Yeah, wait and see mode is the place to be if you're a Cub fan and what you've seen the past few years. I want to say though, like I am going to from now on ban the name Daniel Descalso from this show because I feel like that's where like a lot of this ire started from the fan base toward the front office post World Series. So just going forward. That name's banned on the show, okay?
That's fair. That's okay. Really fair. I didn't want to bring it up either.
I didn't think you did. So, okay, I'm glad that we can agree on this. Okay, 12-team playoff is finally here. Logan, I've been banging the table for this 12-team playoff since the talk began about the 4-team playoff, and they've done it exactly how I wanted it done years ago, where the first four seeds, whatever you want to call them, top four teams, all get first-round byes. And then the first round games among those eight teams are all played at the higher seeds home stadium. This to me, chef's kiss. It's perfect.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice. It's really nice. So I remember when the playoff first started, they were like, their big reason for non-expansion was like, well, when does it stop? Will the ninth team want to get in? Or the 13th? Like, no, just make it 12. 12 is fine. You're the 13th ranked team in the country. You ain't playing for a natty. I'm sorry. But I love it. I love that it's finally coming to fruition. So people, we can stop being scared about the inevitable of Bama and Ohio State possibly making the playoff next weekend. But yeah, I'm just ready for a 12 team, and then we can see hopefully Tulane make the playoff in years to come.
Exactly, because one of the biggest points that I've made is that for the folks out there that said, hey, you know, eight's good. If you got to eight, that would be enough. All eight would be is just a bunch of blue bloods playing each other. There's an 18 playoff would not have had Boise State get in when they won the Fiesta Bowl however many years ago that was. I guarantee you they would have found a way to leave that undefeated UCF team out. You get to 12, that's going to guarantee that a non-Power 5 undefeated team can get in as a quote-unquote Cinderella. And what better than to have a college football playoff take from March Madness and have its own Cinderella, or maybe Cinderellas in a given year.
I don't care. That UCF team could screw off. I hated that team. They were so annoying. But other than that, yeah, I want to see some like Tulane. Cause they're good. Isn't it like the conference champions all make it or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to do is they're going to do the conference champs out of the P5 are all going to make it, and then at-larges from there, and they'll seed them.
Like I would love to see the Tulane Green, like the home of J.P. Lossman, making the college football playoff. And then we could potentially have UAB making with the Dilf, Trent Dilfer making his way to the playoff. Like, it's just, we're just having some fun. And then, yeah, I would love to see that. I don't know if I'm really ready, though. The problem is the likelihood of Tulane upsetting Georgia is the part that's a little scary to me. So, but I would like to see them at least make it past the first round and then have that. Just the potential of it happening is fun, even though the likelihood of it actually materializing that they'd beat Georgia or Alabama or whoever is low, but it'd be fun to see.
I mean, easier said than done, Logan, but isn't the blueprint out there for how a non-P5 can beat a traditional powerhouse where you got to play spread football? Because you can find speed. You can't necessarily develop and get the size and strength that a Georgia or an Alabama is able to recruit. But if you can spread guys out and use, you know, the entire width and length of the field, Boise State, UCF, that's how they got their business done.
Yeah. Yeah. And but another thing those teams were good at as well, especially with Boise State back in that team with Ian Johnson, they were really good at holding the ball. They're really good at controlling the time of possession. When Oklahoma, when they beat them in the Fiesta Bowl, mm-hmm. they had Adrian Peterson, but they were able to keep them off the field. And Zabransky was that quarterback. You had I think Legadu Nane was there. This is the first bet that I ever won with my dad. So this game sits well in my heart, that Boise State, Oklahoma game. But yeah, you just have to have the speed, especially nowadays. It's fun. Like we saw, who was it? Kent State almost, I mean, not almost, but they caused Georgia some problems early on in the season. Like they scored 22 points on Georgia. So it can happen, and just at least make it competitive. That's all I really want out of this. So just make it competitive.
Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, our guest right now on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on Twitter @Logan_Blackman. Logan, you got a podcast out this week, right?
I do. I'm actually recording one right now. I'm about halfway through it right now. And I've got one that came out on Wednesday. We just talked about a lot about the World Cup, the United States making it through, beating Iran, going to the knockout stage, taking on the Netherlands on Saturday, which should be fun. Talk about college football a little bit. Got some the Iowa quarterback situation in the offseason seems to be kind of fun. So got to talk about that a little bit. And, yeah, then I've got one coming out tomorrow as well. You can find that on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search The Logan Blackman Show and click the latest episode.
You know, I would dive into the Iowa quarterback stuff, but I mean, we're already so far into the segment. I think it'd be segment suicide. Do you have a quick thought on the quarterback situation in less than like 45 seconds?
I think for those who haven't been aware of it, Cade McNamara is the guy that's been linked to it. Alex Padilla is transferring, but McNamara is not anything like particularly special, but he's very consistent. That's why JJ McCarthy ended up winning the starting job because he has a stronger arm and is more mobile. So that's why he ended up winning the job because he can do more for Michigan's offense. But Cade McNamara is a very solid option at quarterback. He's clearly better than what Iowa has right now. And if Iowa has any way to get him, I would be all for Cade McNamara coming to the University of Iowa this offseason.
Yeah, a lot of talk about that. Before I ask you for your college football playoff prediction, which four teams you think will make it, who's going to play who, can we just take a moment to mention how pathetic Alabama fans are that are out there trying to make a case for themselves with their two losses? Just how incredibly pathetic are those people?
I don't really mind Alabama too much. I don't really deal with a lot of Alabama people, so it don't really bother me all too much, but it would be really funny to see Twitter explode when Alabama does end up going to the playoff. They're going to find some way to get Bama or another SEC team into the playoff.
No,
It's going to be hilarious.
I'm going to hang up on you if you keep up with
This Alabama team, compared to recent years, is not good. Right. This Alabama team, it's Bryce Young and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, they're not a very good team, but it would be funny. It would be. I don't think they should make it because of the two losses, and I don't think they're very good. But yeah, it'd be really funny to see.
And the teams that they've lost to, Tennessee and LSU, they have bad losses now. So there's no case for them to get in. Who do you think 1-4 is going to be in the college football playoff?
I'm hoping it just stays the same. I hope it just ends Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC. I think that'd be a really fun college football playoff. I want to see Caleb Williams go up against Georgia. I think that'd be a really fun matchup. Georgia's defense against Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison will be on Travis Dye, running back. Like, USC's got some awesome piece on offense. If they could stop Stetson Bennett in that offense is another story, but I think they could cause them some problems in TCU, Michigan. Max Duggan, Iowa, and as long as he's starting at TCU, we'll always have a fan of TCU here in here in Grimes, Iowa. And we played against Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln, or Council Bluffs Lewis Central in high school. He was a year after me, though, so we didn't actually play each other. But
he's lucky.
He's lucky. They would have been one of those situations like, man, he was number 10 in high school. That number 10 is good, but who's that number 2 down there? Oh, man, steal his stock, but I want to see Michigan versus TCU. I think that'd be fun. Even though Blake Corum's out for the year, apparently he's having a knee surgery. But I'd love to see. I want it to stay how it is. I think this is perfect the way it is.
All right, you got some picks for these conference championship games?
I do.
All right, I'll start. We'll snake draft it. We got just enough time. I like TCU -2.5 against Kansas State. Maybe it's a totally different story if it's at 3.5. But, man, here, take my money. TCU -2.5. With all due respect to the fighting Chris Klimans.
That's an Iowan battle. I didn't even think about that. This is going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go with the quarterback as well. I have that game too. I'm picking TCU. I'm going to go with Max. Taking home. I would love to see. He's not in the Maxwell Award finalist, which is upsetting. But hopefully he gets at least a trip to New York and gets to sit there in the Heisman Trophy finalist. But I'm going to go with USC Utah. This is a very, very fun game. The last time these two teams met, Utah won on a 2-point conversion with Cam Rising. So now with being on a neutral site at at Allegiant Stadium. It was at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara for a little bit, but now it's at Allegiant Stadium. But I think USC, the way they're playing right now, what they did to Notre Dame last week, how Caleb Williams is just cooking right now, I think this will be a really fun game, and I'm going to go with USC. They're 2.5-point favorites. We're going to take the Trojans in that one.
I've been watching some Tulane here late in the season. I've been watching some Tulane. I like what I see. Maybe I just like their jerseys more than anything. I can't say for certain. But I do like Tulane -4 against UCF, and I think that's something you probably could get down with too.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I've kind of already made my opinions known about Tulane and UCF so far this show. So I'm cool with Tulane. I'm gonna go with the Big Ten championship game. I was scared of this one for a little bit. I think Corum being out will be kind of big, but I am going to go with Michigan covering the massive spread. I'm gritting my teeth saying that.
Whoa.
17 is the spread. And I think Purdue, I said this with the Iowa game, Aiden O'Connell has a turnover in him. I think Aiden O'Connell is a very good quarterback, but he makes some head-scratching plays. I think Michigan's defense can have enough, can be suffocating enough to cause him enough problems. And we saw last week against Ohio State, Michigan doesn't – I mean, Blake Corum's very important. He's one of the best players in college football. But they can't – they have a running game outside of that. And they discovered a pass game too, with J.J. McCarthy having a really nice game against Ohio State. So I think that could be enough to take it to the Boilermakers on Saturday.
All right, I got to run, but I will give you UNC plus 7.5 against Clemson. That's my final pick.
And I'm going to go with you know what? LSU covering against Georgia. I think the Tigers will bounce back. They've had a couple really shaky weeks. So bounce back, not win. I think they can lose by 2 touchdowns, but not 17.5.
Great stuff, Logan. I got to run. Enjoy your weekend.
Yes, sir. You too.
I'm Steve Weissman with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Broncos say there is no division in Denver. When asked about NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero's report that Russell Wilson had lost the support of some of his teammates after Denver's 3-8 start, head coach Nathaniel Hackett said that was gossip, while Wilson replied, quote, "I've got great relationships in that locker room." Elsewhere, the injury woes continue for the Super Bowl champs. The Rams say all-pro defensive tackle Aaron Donald will miss the first game of his career due to injury Sunday. He's been ruled out with an ankle issue. Better news for the AFC champs. Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase says he is playing on Sunday after missing 4 games with a hip injury, while running back Joe Mixon was back at practice Wednesday after missing Sunday's win over Tennessee with a concussion. And Niners running back Christian McCaffrey missed practice Wednesday with a knee injury, but the team is hopeful he can go on Sunday. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I am Natalie Clapp of Families First Counseling Services. Does your family struggle with meaningful verbal exchanges? You're not alone. What we all want for our families and what we are able to provide are sometimes two different things. If you need help with your family's communication, Families First Counseling Services is here for you. Bring your whole family in or meet with us virtually through telehealth, and we will get to work making sure your communication improves to the level wherein everyone is heard, understood, and respected. Family life is complex. Don't do it all on your own. Let our trained professionals help you every step of the way. Our therapists and behavioral health specialist at Families First Counseling Services will help your family develop the unity needed to grow, change, and cope with the pain of living in modern society. Families First Counseling Services of Iowa, dedicated to the process of partnering with families today to help foster growth and success tomorrow. Visit us online at families-first.net. And remember, Families First cares.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Everybody knows the NFL is a passing league. The league has altered its rules to benefit the passing game, the quarterback and the receivers. And it's created big opportunities for receivers to make some runs at historical records. It was back in 2015 when the Lions Hall of Famer Calvin Johnson set the single-season receiving mark at 1,964 yards, and that was in just 16 games. For a while, it looked like that record would stand. But with everything the NFL has done to promote throwing and the addition of an extra regular season game, that record is in jeopardy. Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and Stephon Diggs currently over 1,100 receiving yards, and Hill and Jefferson have already surpassed 1,200. The receivers will still have 6 games left to make it run at Johnson's record. And with the receivers continuing to evolve, the NFL favoring the pass, and the league potentially adding an 18th game down the road, it appears to be only a matter of time until multiple receiving records are rewritten. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
This message is brought to you by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal information like your name and address from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more. Discover.com/online privacy protection. That's discover.com/online privacy protection. Football weather is here. Freezing temperatures, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires ready to tackle winter's worst? Well, the experts at TireRack.com will get your vehicle ready for prime time.
They sell tires that dominate winter, like the Vredestein Windtrac. Go to TireRack.com/Dan and tell them what you drive. Test results, tire ratings, consumer reviews, all the stats you need to make the right call. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Thursday. Got to thank Rob Grave, the Gazette, and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast for joining today's show. Remember, folks, if you want to join us at Dad's Pub for Fan Frenzy, presented by Hawkeye Audio Video, coming up on Monday night, December 5th, go to the website, 1650thefan.com, click on the Fan Frenzy post, and enter today's keyword, theater. Today's keyword is theater. If you want to be at Fan Frenzy Monday night, go enter it at the website right now. Time is running out. Have a great night, everybody. Back tomorrow at 5 from Young Arena.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.